Wow. Good morning. I love watching those kids run to children's church. Isn't that awesome? Some of you are probably thinking, I wish I'd have ran to children's church knowing he was here. 16. I barely remember 16. I remember one thing about being 16. I knew it all. Right? You remember that? Yeah, amen. Yeah, you know, I mean, for the teens in here, you know it all. And for the adults, remember when we were 16, man, we knew it all. We had it all. I saw the first service, and it was funny because somebody put on my Facebook this picture. I didn't know the picture existed. At 16, I was riding a tiger, whipping it with a rattlesnake, right? I said that, and somebody, go to my Facebook and check it out. Somebody put a picture of somebody riding a tiger with a rattlesnake. I can't believe that. I thought that was a Hobart thing only. I knew it all. Man, I mean, I had it all figured out. I knew it all. And at 16, we had a share service in our church. It was after Falls Creek. Remember the share services? If you notice why we quit doing those, I'm going to tell you why. At 16, I was in my share service, and I had come back. We came back from camp, and I was up sharing in that share service, and I proceeded to tell the adults everything wrong with them. And I'm laying it on thick. Now, my mother was in the first service, so she got to hear this, and I was watching her. She was on the back row, and she was going, I remember it like it was yesterday, and I'm laying it on. Well, after that share service, the next day was Monday, and it happened to be we went to camp later in the summer, and that Monday morning, my dad and I went and chopped cotton. Anybody know what chopping cotton is? It's one of Dante's levels of hell. So my dad and I went out about 6 in the morning and began chopping cotton. If you don't know what that is, ask Pastor Scott. He's got a great story about chopping cotton that he denies is true, but I promise you is true. He actually chopped the cotton. You're supposed to chop the weeds out of the cotton. And he ruined a bunch of my uncle's cotton. So we went to chop cotton, and the thing was about that particular Monday, my dad and I had made a commitment with the men's ministry, to be in an event that noonday service. Well, we went home early. We're about 15 minutes from town. We drove in early, changed our clothes, and get ready. I had decided that I wasn't going to go after I had made the commitment, because remember, I'm 16, I know everything. I decided that I don't want to go. So I promptly went in, got cleaned up, and laid on the couch. My dad, since we're in church, I'll clean it up, basically said to me, oh, dearest son of mine, I would prefer that thou gettest up off of the coucheth and attendeth the service with me. No, my dad basically said, really? Kind of like Pastor Scott did a couple of Sundays ago. Really? Are you serious? My dad proceeded to tell me that I embarrassed him the Sunday night before. I'd embarrassed his friends. I disgraced him and disappointed him. Remove thyself from thy couch. I got up, shamed, embarrassed myself because I disappointed my dad. Many of you have heard this before. I had three heroes. I had three heroes, earthly heroes in this life. In this order, my dad, John Wayne, and Dr. Glenn Plum. And I had hurt the one man I've tried to impress all these years. I got up, I went to that event. Let me tell you, I shook hands, I hugged necks, I did everything right because I had embarrassed my father. You ever been called out? You ever somebody look at you and go, really? Are you serious? If you have parents, if not, we'll talk later. If you have parents, you know that feeling, that pain of disappointing them. If you have heroes or if you have someone that's your mentor and you've embarrassed them or disappointed them, you know what that feels like, that pain of being called out. What do you do when you're called out? What do you do when you disappoint someone? You know what? Why don't we just go to the source? Jesus called somebody out. Actually, he called a lot of people out. Sometimes he called the Pharisees out, and we all read that and go, yes, right? Because we all love when somebody gets reamed out, don't we? Let's be honest. Especially when it's not us, amen? Let's look at John. chapter 13, verse 31 through 38. Get your Word of God, your phone. Someone had an iPad first service. That was pretty cool because it kept going boop. And let's look at this. It's up also up on the screen. Let's look at someone that got called out. Peter. Bless his heart. That's what we say in the South, right? Bless his heart. Let's look at Peter. As soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will soon give glory to the Son." Dear children, I love it that Jesus called him dear children. "I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. And you should love each other. And your love for one another will prove to the world you are my disciples." And Simon Peter asked, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "You can't go with me now, but you'll follow me later." "But why can't I come now, Lord?" he asked. "I'm ready to die for you." Jesus answered, here we go. "Die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny three times that you even know me." Oops. Or snap. "Die for me? Really? Are you serious, Peter? Die for me." Oh, here we go. Peter gets busted. Peter gets called out. Peter gets nailed. Really? Really, Pete? Really? Yeah, okay, really? Yeah, really. That's how we do it at my house. Really? Yeah, really. Because we're a very sarcastic family. Except my poor wife. Pray for her. "Where are you, honey? Really? I'm sorry. You pick me. Really? Really, Pete? Die for me." Hey, Pete, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to even deny that you even know me. Sit down. Now, okay, disclaimer. Stop. Everybody look right here. I love doing that. Look right here. I should have been a teacher, but I don't like getting up early. Okay, look right here. I'm going to say this a couple of times during this little talk. It's not a sermon because there's no points. Yes, I would get kicked out of OBU. Oh, I did. All right, no, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Rabbit. These are, okay, man, you're going to love this. These are dudes, okay? By the way, there were some dudesses there. These are people. This is a historical account we're going to talk about. This is not Grimm's fairy tales, even though it's pretty bloody at times. This is real stuff. Now, we just have a written account of this historical event. We don't know everything because it's a written word. But let me go out on a limb. I'm pretty sure they had real feelings and emotions like we do. Go with me on this. Go with me. "Die for me? Sit down, Pete. You're going to give me up three times. Or before the rooster crows, you'll give me up. You'll deny you even know me. Die for me. Are you serious? Sit." Whew. "Well, if that's not my Jesus." Really? I remember somebody that took a cat of nine tails and whipped a bunch of folk. Y'all remember that? "Oh, you're just being harsh." I didn't write it. Now, we don't have a lot, but let's be honest. Now, these are also dudes and dudesses. How do you think Peter felt? Now, let's talk about this. These were the disciples, minus Judas. Remember, he left. Remember that? So, 11 guys in there and some ladies. Now, you know there's that guy in the room who's going, "Yeah, give it to him, Lord. Woo!" But he's doing this. Right? Come on. Help me out, right? But you also know there's some guys in there going, "Oh, Pete, shut your mouth. Oh, Pete. I said this in first service because I'm a terrible person. It's like being in business meeting. when we're all sitting there, and you know we're going, nobody say anything, nobody say anything, nobody say anything, because we all want to leave, right? Amen? And that one, don't anyone look around, but there's that one person who has questions. Now, if you're looking around, you're the one that has the questions. And you're going, please don't say anything. Please don't. Oh, you did it. And somebody calls them out on it. And so, you know, the disciples are going, oh, bro, no, don't. And then wham. And everybody's going, oh, I told you not to say anything. And they're hurting for Pete, right? Pete. Because Pete's that 16-year-old boy. Amen. He's that 16-year-old boy that, I'll die for you. Man, but did you really catch what happened? Peter just simply misses the point, right? Do y'all get that? Because Jesus, where is he? Some call it the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. It's Jesus' last kind of big hurrah before he goes to the cross. And Jesus is trying to lay down some important things for his guys, for his fellows, his band of brothers, right? And what was that? Love one another. Hey guys, a new commandment I give you. Okay, whoop, whoop, doot, doot, doot. Everybody should have went, doot, 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 doot. Jesus said something new. He said something new. You know, it should have been like this. Okay, everybody, get your pen and paper out. Okay. The disciples, pen and paper. Yeah, never mind. Listen to it when you get home and you'll go, ah, Kevin. They should have been zeroed in on the fact that this was something new, so it should have been pretty important, right? Why? So all the world will know what? What? You're my disciples if you have love for one another. But Peter is so wrapped up in what? Fear. Right? You're leaving me. What about me? I'm scared. You're leaving. Selfishness. Right? Well, what about me? Huh, this sounds a lot like Kevin. Okay. What about me? So I didn't pick on you all. I'm going to pick on me. Pete's so caught up with Pete. Lord, don't leave me. That he missed the point. No wonder Jesus was a little miffed. No wonder Jesus is saying, Pete, come on, man. How long do I have to be with you before you get this? Ain't about you. It's about me. Really? Seriously, Pete? Come on, man. Chris Carter. Come on, man. Peter, what is the deal? Now, I shared this with our college and career, I don't know, a month ago, maybe more, guys, I don't remember. And a couple of them came up with a point that I thought was brilliant, and I'm going to add it. Do you think Peter overcompensated because of what Jesus said? And here's what they brought up in John 18:1. It's up on the screen. Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. Remember when they came to take Jesus? What did old Pete do? Ninja. Woo! And I shared this with the first service, and this is why I love our Savior. Catch this. What did Jesus do? Whoop, boop. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? No, okay, listen. I try to make the reason why I do these silly things and y'all think there is something wrong with that boy is to get you, thank you. Amen. Is to get you to understand this is real stuff. Historical things. It's not fairy tales because I grew up in the church. You know what happened after a while? I started hearing these stories going. Oh, a Methodist got out. We got to hurry. This is real. Do you think Pete overcompensated? I don't know. We don't know. But I guarantee you this, when he's standing in the garden And they're taking Jesus. What's Pete thinking? I'll show you, Lord. Huh? Come on, dream, think. These are dudes. Peter's a dude. And his Lord just said earlier, you're denying me three times that you even knew me. I don't know, I'm not there, but think. Do you overcompensate? Do you try to be better and do more? When you fall, do you try to see how high you can climb that ladder? I don't know, man. I don't know. I wasn't there. But if Pete's like me, and I'm starting to think I'm more like him, I'll just try harder. Poor Pete. So it brings me back to my original question. Have you ever been called out? Have you ever disappointed someone? Have you got parents? Then you've disappointed someone, amen. Hey, have you got kids? Have you ever disappointed someone? Have you made promises to your kids? My kids are here. They'll tell you. Yeah, he promises stuff all the time. Now, this is usually when, in the Americanized Christianity, in the church, I would give you 3 points on how you can be a better Christian. We can be better soldiers. We can work harder, be stronger, read more verses. Go God. Then I tell you Uncle Kevy's sad story. And everybody leave here crying. Yeah, it's coming at the end, don't worry. It's there. Parents, I could give you steps on how we can manipulate our children to be better. We don't have to call them out all the time. Kids, teens, I could tell you how to just try just a little bit harder and make those commitments and stand and be better kids so you don't get called out all the time. Some are saying, really? Then they throw it away when we leave. Hey, I can tell us how to go out in a lost and dying world, and we can sign them up for behavior modification classes called DT, and how they can all strive to be better, fit in our little molds and fit in our pegs. Wow, we can go home and feel really good about ourselves. For about a week, maybe. Oh, for me, 2 days. Tops. And then I'm just on the merry-go-round doing this thing called religion. Until one of us pukes. Or we can look at what Jesus did, his style of forgiveness, his style of relationships, and maybe do something different. Maybe we can say, hey, Jesus, what did you do for Peter? I vote the latter. Because I'm tired. Today's my birthday, and I'm old. I know you're thinking, some of those back there are going, no, you're not, Sonny. I love you all, because my kids think I'm old. But let me put it this way, I'm old in my spirit. I'm tired. And I'm starting to realize that Jesus' way is way better than mine. What do you think? I'm starting to realize that he, for some reason, he's way smarter than I am. And I'm also starting to realize I'm failing at my way. That my way isn't helping anyone. I have family members that are walking away from Christ, and I have no answer. Because if I tell them to read the Bible more, they laugh. When I tell them to pray more, they go, pray to who? He's not there. He doesn't exist. Anybody else identify with what I'm saying? So let's start with the question. What happened in 1227? 1227 AD. It's a question up on the slide. Here's what happened in 1227 AD. Stephen Langton, he was an Archbishop of Canterbury, added chapters and verses to the Scriptures. In fact, in 1382, Wycliffe adopted this, and the first English Bible used this pattern. Big deal. What does that mean to us? Well, for one thing, it allowed us to grab the book of John and actually find John 3:16. That's a good idea, isn't it? You didn't have to read the whole entire thing. You could go to John 3:16 and read, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Is that pretty important? Amen? Let me tell you what's really important for today, and what was important for our look at Peter. Because John 13 and John 14 is the worst chapter break in history. I learned this at OBU. This is the one class I probably paid attention in. And then the college and career class, we got to look at this together because a few days before I taught their class, this was my devotion time with the Lord. And it broke me. It humbled me. Though I knew it years before, I didn't pay any attention until God said, "I want you to look at this between me and you." So I'm going to read it to you. We're going to start John 13, 36, 38, and then I'm going to finish up in John 14, into verse 4. You can look at it here, or you can just listen to it. Let me read this to you. Simon Peter asked, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "You can't go with me now, but you'll follow me later." "But why can I come now, Lord?" he asked. "I'm ready to die for you," Jesus answered. "Die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you ever knew me." "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." No break, no stop. In fact, it even goes on. Soak that up for a moment. This is how it was meant to be read. No break, no pause. How do I know that? Because look at verse 4, "And you know the way to where I'm going." What did they ask? What did Peter ask the very first thing? "Lord," what? Say it loud. "Where are you going?" Hey, I say this to the staff all the time when I'm sharing the dumb stuff I do in life. You can't make this stuff up. He wrote this to his disciples. Amen? "Let not your hearts be troubled." I want to take this a step further. Though we can't point it out, these were dudes, remember? Dudes and dudesses who were hurting, probably for Peter, but also themselves. Because we are, hey, can we put us in this light? We are selfish beings. We will always be. And in that moment, Jesus knew that his peeps needed him. And he knew Peter needed him. Hey guys, don't let your hearts be troubled. You trust God, you can trust me. Oh, hey, Pete, look at me. Look at me. Don't you hate when your parents did that? But sometimes we love it. Peter, look at me. Pete, look at me, buddy. Pete, I'm building your house, buddy. It's okay. It's okay, because when that house is done, guess what, bud? I'm going to come back and get you. And when I come back and get you, Pete, guess what, my friend? You'll be with me. Hey, like in Sandlot, guys, forever. Hey, this isn't in my notes. This is a freebie for you. This is why I gave my soul to Jesus Christ when I was 15. This Jesus. This Jesus. Not the Jesus who stops at the end of chapter 13. Amen? Not that Jesus, because that's not the complete picture of Jesus. That's not the complete picture of Jesus who just stops and says, "Now go home, you disappointed me." Can I be honest though? And my mom's here, so she's hearing this, but my mom was not this way. My church was. But not my mom and dad. Thanks, Mom. than what church was. My church was be better, act better, look better, because it's all about appearance. But not my mom and dad. My mom and dad were about your heart. I was at a conference. We all were at a conference. And the lady that taught one of my classes said this, I would rather my kids know Jesus than the sinner's prayer. How about, can I say this? You can judge me later. No, you don't. Thank you. Can I say, staff, is it okay to say this? Thank you, Central, that you don't judge me. I'd rather my kids know Jesus than the entire scriptures. Because Jesus is the scripture alive. Get it? I'd rather my kids know Jesus than the sinner's prayer. I didn't grow up with this, but I had parents that taught me Jesus is greater and bigger than the church. But in that, Jesus died for the church. Reconcile that. Why? Because he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If not so, why would I tell you that I go there to build a place for you? And when it's done, I will come get you so you can be with me. I still love doing this forever. That's my Jesus. But I have to say this. Why could Jesus say that to Pete? Why could he say that to Peter? Very simple. On the screen, look at Mark 1, 16 and 17. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they had fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, what does it say? Say it loud. And I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. This is where Jesus called out Peter the first time. And he called him out for a different reason. He called him out for salvation. He called him out to save him. Follow me. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Peter was Jesus' man. The first time he called him out was for a different purpose. Has Jesus called you out? He called me out. And I've never been the same. I've had moments where I failed. I've had moments where I've fallen. But he called me out the first time for a different reason. Now, we got to be honest. We know what happened at the courtyard. It did happen. It did happen. Peter denied Jesus three times. And we know when that third time, the rooster crowed, we know that Peter just was devastated. But I'm hoping and praying and believing that Peter remembered those words. Don't let your heart be troubled. And how can we know that? Well, because again, in John 21, 3 through 19, we're not going to look at it, but we know this, that Peter went fishing. You remember that? After Jesus appeared, all the disciples were hanging out and Peter's standing around and Peter gets impatient and what does he do? I'm going fishing. What does a fisherman do? He goes fishing. I teased the first service. I said, I'd go watch TV. So what'd I do? Pete goes fishing. He's out there fishing. They catch a big catch and all of a sudden there's Jesus. And what does Jesus do? You guys remember? Makes them what? Breakfast. I'm telling you, we read this historical events and Jesus just freaks me out. I mean, he raises people from the dead. He puts ears back on. He does all these things. He goes, hey guys, I'll make you some breakfast. Over easy? I don't know. I wasn't there. But Jesus trips me out anyway. And he's making them breakfast. And he's sitting there cooking them breakfast. And what does he do? He encounters Peter. He says, Pete, I don't know. This is me. You should never go in here because I think you all would just die. I'm sitting there thinking that Jesus is going, okay. Hey, Pete, you love me? Yeah, Lord, yeah. Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Right? He's a dude. He's human. Yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. Now, we know now. For those of you who don't know Bible history, we know what that is. There's a reference to Peter. Do my ministry. Take care of my people. Spread my word. Yes, spread me out there. Second time, servant. Peter, like those eggs? Over easy. Huh? Yes, Lord. Yeah, they're good eggs. And yeah, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Jesus taking up the plates, washing dishes. You think he'd have somebody for that, right? I mean, he cooked. Washing dishes. Pete. Yes, Lord. You love me? Bible says he got his feelings hurt, remember? Like, oh, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus never wavered. What did he say? Feed my sheep. All right. Right? Because Peter's the perpetual child, right? Then he goes on to tell Peter how he's going to die. Remember that part? If you don't, look it up. Beautiful. John 21, 30 through 19. Read it. Read it on your own. Don't take my word for it. Read it. Tells about, you know, when you get old, you're going to be led around. Beautiful story. But at the end, he says something to Peter. Follow me. What about when he first called him out? Peter, follow me. You'll fish for men. What did Jesus just do? What we've been talking about with Hospital Church, what we've been talking about with this change that we want to make, and actually we've been making it for a year or more. Getting people to Jesus to restore their broken heart. Was Peter's heart broken? You know it. He denied him three times. Jesus just simply restored Peter. And how do I know that? Because I have tasted the cup of Jesus' restoration. Over 22 years ago, in my house in Topeka, Kansas, and my wife's here, sorry honey, I should have warned you. Happy birthday. I knelt in my basement, because in Topeka we all have basements. Watch The Wizard of Oz. Doesn't get any easier if you're in the first service, so just pray for me. I knelt down in my basement. I didn't have the guts to take my own life, but I wanted to die. So I prayed this prayer. Lord Jesus, please kill me. I joked. I didn't know if God was going down with a sickle in my head, but I wanted to die. My church decided they didn't want me there anymore because I lacked integrity and I had no respect for authority. And my ministry was over. My wife, Kendra, didn't want to be married to me anymore. And my daughter, Hannah, who you saw singing up on stage with Mindy, was just a baby. And my wife was done. And there in that dirty, dark basement, in the utility part of it, I knelt down and I literally wanted to die. That the most suicidal I've ever been in my entire life. For some reason, God did not come down and take my life. Thank you. He said, get up. Don't let your heart be troubled. Get up. I'm going to restore my relationship with you. I'm going to restore your relationship with your wife. I'm going to restore you to ministry. I got up, dusted myself off, numb in shock, hurting. Still wanted to die, I'm not going to lie to you. Went upstairs, and there was my wife, Kendra, holding my baby. And it was a long process. Hey, guess what? It ain't over. But I'll tell you this. I spent 10 years at my former church, and April will be 12 years here. I'll tell you this, October 18th, we'll be married 27 years. How about that? I am still a work in progress. Some of you know that. Some of you are my accountability brothers in here. My senior adults that are in here and my senior adults in the first service, I said, I want to come down and hug every one of you because you guys are the ones that see the worst of me and you still love me. We are all still in the process. Let me tell you when I'll be restored. Guess when? When I walk into those gates and I pray daily, I hear Jesus say, well done, Kevin. You made it. Come here, boy, give me a hug. I'm going to say, you got it, chief. And we're going to party, and I'm going to see my daddy there. And then we're going to pick on everybody we know, because that's what we did. Right, Mom? We picked on everybody. Because they'll be picking in heaven, or I ain't going. And for those of you that are brokenhearted, those of you that feel like you've disappointed Jesus, guess what? Don't let your heart be troubled. Oh, but Kevin, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. Can I let you on a little secret? He does. Peter committed treason, right? All you World War II veterans and Korean veterans, we don't do it now, but man, you did it back then. What happens? Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. All I wanted you to get from these messages was two things. The first one is on the screen. Give yourself a break, because he did. He gave you such a break, he died on a cross for you. If he called you out the first time for salvation, guess what? He's saying, no matter what you've done or what you did, I may call you out because I'm your Messiah and I'm your King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But hey, don't let your heart be troubled. If you trust in the Father, you can trust in me. And I don't lie. I'm building you a place. And when it's done, I'm going to come get you. Because guess what? Where I am, you'll be forever. I'm sorry, it just makes me laugh. But it's true. Give yourself a break. And the second thing I want you to get is real simple. Who is the Father put in your life that you need to give a break to? And take him to the Messiah. And just say, look, it's not about rules and regulations. It's about freedom. Freedom to be clean. Don't you want to be clean? Don't you want to be, get this, not judged? Because he paid our price. Some of y'all look like you're not convinced of that. I can't convince you of that. But guess what? He can. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I asked the first server this, I'm going to ask it again. He said, well, I don't know who put my life to give a break to. Okay, how many of y'all have kids? Old, young kids. Raise your hands. Raise them high. Start there. Give them a break. I got three kids and a niece in my house. You know what I've been learning lately? I'm a jerk. I'm hard on them. I'm rough on them. I'm demanding. I've been learning lately I need to start with them and just quit being a jerk. If I was more like Jesus to my children, they wouldn't have the insecurities they have. Dads, I'm a dad. How they picture God the Father goes through the filter of me. Did you know that? God the what? Father, say it. God the... I need to change this lens so they have a better picture of God the Father. Moms, don't take it personal when your kids act like hooligans, because they are. But they will grow up. They will grow out of it. My daughters, beautiful, beautiful women, they just clean their rooms. Give them a break. Kids, mom and dad just need a break too. They need a break. Kids and teens. Oh, and I need to give my mom a break. Dad's not here to tell them, but my mom's still here. Jesus gave us a break. Give each other a break. I don't know what else to say. I don't have it all planned out how to end. How about we just pray? Rylan, if you would just come up. Rhonda's playing. Rylan, play us something. How about we just pray? It shouldn't be the last thing we do. It should always be the first thing we do is cry out to our holy God and our Savior. If you need Jesus Christ, because let me tell you something, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I don't need any other way to say it, but you ain't got nothing. And He may be calling you right now, and He may be saying this to you, follow Me. Follow Me. Our staff's going to be right back there. And you may need to go back there and say, He's calling me right now. He's saying to me, follow Me. Because He may want to make you fishers of men. And right now, while Rylan's doing his thing and Rhonda's doing her thing, you need to just walk over there and say to the staff, I need to follow Jesus. The rest of you, this altar's for you. Whether to give yourself a break or give someone else a break. Maybe your kids, teens, maybe somebody at school. You come right now and do business with the Father. It's up to you. You can do business right there. But let me tell you why we come down here. The Lord hates pride. The Lord hates pride, but He pours out His grace on the humble. Father, right now, just in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever you want to do, this is Your business, not mine. I am just a vessel. So, Father, pour Your Spirit out on Your sons and Your daughters in these next few moments. It's Your time. As Rylan sings, you come forward, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to lay down here at the altar, or you can go in the back with Matt and Jeremy. You do what you need to do right now.